We'd like to say we appreciate the privilege, the opportunity again to be here tonight. Glad to have each and every one of you in our midst in the service. Just trust and pray that you'll pray for the service. Tonight, if you'll read with us, we're going to read some out of the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. 3rd chapter of the book of Hebrews. Again, we appreciate being here tonight. Appreciate having you in our midst. Just pray for us for just a minute. We'll try our best to do that. We feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. There's probably other scripture we could probably read and get around to the thought, but this is the scripture that come to us, so you just pray for us for just a minute. Appreciate the songs tonight. I really do appreciate the songs. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Sang another song, says we're a winner either way. Winner either way. And they sung that song tonight and it talked about the strength. The strength in the Lord, strength in the word of the Lord. And there is. There's strength beyond measure. But a lot of times we're not strong enough to recognize the strength. A lot of times our mountains are greater than our faith. It's the only way I know to say it. You just pray for just a minute. I don't know altogether what we'll say or do. I am glad to be here and glad I was able to come and be in this service tonight. 3rd chapter of the book of Hebrews, we'll start with the first verse. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses was verily faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Very good chapter. A lot in this chapter, a lot more than we'll probably get around to. Just got a thought. There's a verse in this scripture that I make mention. I think about it whenever I read it and run across it. And I've had a desire to preach on this verse, and I never have been able to. But I've got a desire to. And tonight ain't going to be the night. I'll just be honest with you. That's not what's on our hearts tonight, seems like. But there's a verse in here, and I'm going to read it to you. And it may not mean a whole lot, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. But I, Lord willing, one day the Lord let me preach on this. I hope. It says, but in the 13th verse, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, I've got to mention this a little from time to time, but I never have preached on it. And as I say, may the Lord let me one of these days. The scripture here is talking about that of Christ. And then it flips over and talks about Moses. But it shows you how much greater Christ was than Moses. And Moses was faithful in all his house. That's what the book says. What it said more than once in this scripture. Moses was faithful in all his house. The Bible says in that we read you today, concerning that of the children of Israel, he talked to them. And he told them, he said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He said, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. Now, I want to talk to you out of this next verse, the Lord help us, for just a minute tonight. He says, wherein your fathers tempted me, proved me, listen, and saw my works 40 years. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, yet they dwelled in unbelief. But he said, they tempted me, they proved me. I want to stay around proved me. The Lord help me for just a minute tonight, and I don't know altogether what we've got. This scripture come to us today, and as we was traveling, and we had a little while to maybe think on it, and you know what I thought? Prove me. That's what I thought. Prove me. That's all I thought. That's all I got. Prove me. The scripture says here that they tempted him and they proved him. In other words, they made him. Brethren, prove himself to them over and over and over again. And they still did not believe. That's what I get. They tempted him. They proved him. Over and over and over. Did you know, brethren, they had never made it through the wilderness had it not been for the Lord. They wouldn't have made it. And God, he didn't send them there. Brethren, they went there out of their own doings, their own belief. They is in that state. You know, a lot of times people get in certain situations and they want God to prove himself. Do you know that? Do you hear that? They want God to prove himself. Why? Why? Why should he? I'm going to preach on something tonight. We don't want to hear too much, but I want to talk to you about your faith. Your faith. It ain't about us proving God that he's God and that he can move in our life. Brethren, it ought to be about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith. How much faith we got tonight? Listen, brethren, these people dying because we want God to prove himself to us. Shame on us. Shame on us. Are not we the people of God? Are not we the church of God? Listen, we ain't living in Moses' day. We ain't living in the day of the wilderness, folks. We're living in a time when we ought to believe God today. Have faith in him. Have faith that he will. Why, preacher, if I just had that kind of faith, why don't you? Brethren, it ain't about proving God. Brethren, where's our faith tonight? We've got to have faith. Did you know without faith it's impossible to please him? What that book says. It's impossible to please him without faith tonight. Brethren, you're going to perish without faith tonight. You're going to perish. Yes, you will. Brethren, he cared for them people. He cared for Israel. For 40 long years, he cared for them. And he said, in my wrath, I told them they would not enter into my rest. And they did not. They did not. Faith. What is faith? We've heard it. We've heard it preached on. 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews will tell you quite a bit about faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Through faith. My friend, through faith. Did you know it's by grace through faith that you are saved tonight? Are you not saved? I know, you say, preacher, you said you didn't get nothing today. Well, I didn't. I didn't get a whole lot that I could, felt like I could go with. But I'm going to be honest with you. Brethren, they something got a hold of me since then. Yes, sir. There's something, Brett. We call it faith. When God performs a miracle, brethren, that ain't faith. That's reality tonight. You can't talk about your faith when it comes to pass. No, sir. You can talk about your faith before it comes to pass. Ain't that right? What is faith? I've always used just a simple illustration. My friend, it might be just simple to a lot of folks, but brethren, it speaks wonders in the life of a Christian. Faith is putting your foot down where there ain't no place to put it. You hear me? Put it down when there ain't nothing to stand on. Faith. Prove. You say, preacher, that's going to be my question. How does God prove himself to you? Now we all got 20/20. Is that what they say when it's hindsight? Looking behind. These things naturally and spiritually that the Lord has, that I've had to have faith. I talk about me, that I've had to have faith. I had to believe, my friend, that God was going to make a way when they wouldn't know way. And you know what? I'm happy to say sometimes I believed he would. You know what? He did. But there's been some times, Leroy, that I just didn't know where he would or not. Shame on me. On me. Brethren, God don't have to do nothing tonight to prove himself to us. He is God. We ought to believe on him that he is God. Right? Well, preacher, I got a situation that ain't nobody in this world can fix. And you are right. Thank God nobody in this world can. But if you'll have that faith, my friend, God can. God can. He can change. Say, I can't have it. I might speak like a broken record, but I want you to know my God can change things tonight. He can. Not anything. I could tell you multitudes and multitudes. I'm happy to tell you tonight. Thank God I've got some experience that I know God done it, my friend. He done it. All he wants me to do is have faith that he could. Yes, sir. Now, I'm in a world of trouble when it comes to a lot of things. I am. I'm in a world of trouble. Preacher, you're a preacher. How in the world can you have trouble? It comes. It'll find you. Yes, it will. Now, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this trouble, but you know what? I'm serving one, thank God, that can lead me. And that's what I'm trying to be, just led. Just led. You know some of the best servants in this world, you know what they do? They follow. They follow the leader. Yes, sir. It ain't everybody's a leader. No, sir, it ain't. You know that? Just working around people. Some folks, my friend, you can just tell them what to do and they'll just fly off and do it. Now, some of them, my friend, you had to say, come here. Come here. Ain't that right? Yes. There's nothing wrong with that, my friend, but everybody ain't a leader. The truth of it is, when it comes to the Lord, He wants you to be a follower. Glory to God. He called 12 of them disciples, my friend. He wanted every one of them to follow Him. Is that not right? He said, come follow me. Huh? Come follow me. He set them down over there. He said, we're going to eat. Didn't He? Brethren, they, one of them spoke up and said, why, 200 penny worth of money, of food couldn't feed this crowd. Huh? He said, what do you got? He said, we got 2 fishes and 5 loaves. Woo! Glory to God! Use that! Brethren, that God's given you, see if He won't bless it. He'll do it. He'll do it. And I wouldn't be afraid to tell you, my friend, that you'd get to pick up the fragments, take them home with you. Huh? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Faith. Now the days, I'm going to preach this, and I've had people get tore up when I mention this, but I'm going to preach this, my friend. I want you to know why I'm going to preach this. My friend, those that live by faith under the law, brethren, God bless them, my friend. Every one of them. A lot of them didn't make it. Do you know that? You know, you get to looking at Moses' life, and he spent his life in 40-year increments. 40 years and 40 years and 40 years. Yes, sir. Brethren, he was 120 year old when he passed away, and the Bible says his eye was not dim, neither his natural force abased. No doubt he still looked like a young man in features. His natural force was not abased. Didn't look his age. I'm telling you. I know a man, you probably know people, but I know a man right now who's about 92 years old, and he looks the same as he did 25, 30 years ago. Looking at him. But you know what's going to happen one day, my friend, he gonna pass away. It doesn't matter. I think a lot of times, my friend, God, the Bible says that He led the children of Israel. He delivered them through that of the hand of Moses. And you go and read and you think about all that Moses, my friend, went through. But Moses was not going to Canaan's land for one reason. I read to you tonight, it said it twice. Moses was faithful in all his house. Was he not? But there was a day that the Lord spoke to Moses, Robert. He said, you speak to that rock. He had done smoke the rock once, twice, prior. But Moses was angry this day. And the Lord spoke to Moses and He said, Moses, speak to that rock. The Bible says that he went over and got the old rod and he beat it twice. Water come out, didn't he? He got water all right, but it cost him. Why did it cost him? Because he didn't magnify the Lord in the midst of the people. That's why. Number one reason. He is disobedient. In that one thing, he is disobedient. And it cost him. And the Lord told him, said, you'll not enter into Canaan. But he didn't hold all that against. No, he didn't. Brethren, Moses no doubt had his hand full, but nonetheless, he didn't do the obey of the Lord. He didn't obey him, the command. But the Lord told him, he went up on Mount Nebo, he said, Moses, come over here. I'm going to show you something. Huh? I'm going to show you something. Now, Moses was faithful in all his house. But when Moses died, my friend, the Lord showed him Canaan. He showed him all the goodness of Canaan. I believe it. The Bible says that the Lord buried him. Did he not? He died. Then his 120-year-old and his eye wouldn't dim, his natural force wouldn't abate. But brethren, he died. Yeah. Did he not? He died and the Lord buried him. And the people mourned for Moses. They wept for him. 30 days. Faith. Everything we do, my friends, not of faith. Did you know that? Preacher, you playing trickery on us. No. Everything we do, my friends, not of faith. When we move by the commandment of God, it should be of faith. But a lot of times it's not. Can I ask you something tonight? Just get personal with you. Brethren, has the Lord ever asked you to do something and you didn't do it? Yes. I believe the answer is yes. I believe we can all fit in that boat and say, yes. Lord asked me to do this and I didn't do it because it looked like it didn't work. You know why it didn't work? You didn't do it. Not of faith. Huh? Not of faith. There's things, my friend, just like he told Peter and them, Peter and them fished all night long. They hadn't caught a thing. And if you go and read, you'll find that they was pretty good fishermen. That was their living. And the Lord told them, said, cast on the right side. I believe it was Peter just spoke up, said, we've toiled all night, not caught it. But nonetheless, at thy bidding, we'll cast the net. They cast the net on the right side and they couldn't bring it all in. Is that right? Couldn't bring it all in. You'd be amazed, my friend, at what you would catch if you'd just move when the Lord says move. Now, the Lord, a lot of times, I don't know altogether. Brethren, the Lord seems like he puts things on us sometimes when it's just ain't convenient for us to do it. Lord, I'll do it, but I ain't going to do it right now. Well, after a while, it ain't going to make no difference where you do or not. Huh? I can honestly tell you that. I can honestly tell you, my friend, there's times that the Lord, when he says do it, you can't wait till tomorrow. Well, preacher, I'm in the middle of something. That's the good time. That's a good time. That's when the Lord speaks. When you're in the middle of something. Huh? Yes, sir. Preacher, you're just being silly. Not a bit in this world. I've had him speak to me and I've told him, just like I'd tell you, I'll do it in a little while. And you know what? Wouldn't err a little while. It wouldn't err. I promise you, it wasn't there. I promise you, I went and done what he told me to do, and I done it in a little while, and it wasn't there. And I know what I'm talking about. Me. Yes, sir, me. Moses, my friend, was faithful in all his house. But yet Moses did not glorify the Lord in the midst of the children of Israel on one occasion. That's the occasion. Faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Did you hear that? The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders have obtained a good report. Now I'm going to say this, and you may be here tonight, and you may say, "Preacher, I just wanted God to show himself, and I wanted the Lord to just prove to me that he is God." The fact of it is, if you're a child of God, you ought to have enough faith to know that he's God. "Preacher, I ain't going to have that. He's going to have to prove himself to me." He can. And he probably will. But the truth of it is, you really don't want him to. You don't want it to go that far. You don't want it to get to that point. No, sir. Just trust that he's God. I've had people down through the years to tell, "How can you believe in something that you can't even see?" Brethren, my Bible tells me it's my faith in God that separates me from this world. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? How do you know you've been born again? How do you know you've been born again? "Preacher, I was there. Thank God somebody better know it." Hadn't they? "Preacher, you just believe you're saved. You just believe you got saved." You ever been told that? You're not going to explain to this world how the Lord saves. Do you know that? You ain't going to explain to them. They ain't going to understand. They're going to laugh at you. I can tell you what they're going to do. They're going to laugh at you. They got no comprehension. They got nothing, my friend, that identifies with them that makes any sense about what you tell them. No, sir. It's a faith by grace, through faith. Are you saved? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't work good enough to get it. "Preacher, I wouldn't preach that." Well, I'm going to preach it. My friend, it is the gift of God. Brethren, a gift is no good until it's received tonight. "Preacher, I put out a few fleeces." Fleeces is not faith. You ain't going to want to hear this. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It ain't going to do you no good. Tell me how many fleeces the Lord's answered for you. You want proof that God is God? Believe him. See if he won't show up on the scene. See if he won't do you exactly what he told them disciples. He said, "In the hour that you have need," he said, "I'll give it unto you." That's what he told them. When you have something to say, he said, "I'll give it to you." They didn't know what they was talking about, no way. The truth. It's the truth. The commission, my friend, was for them to go. How many of us got to be led by the Spirit today? How many? All of us. Every one of us. It takes the Spirit of God, my friend, to activate and to do God's will tonight. It does. Preacher, you're to preach this to the whole church. Well, if they is here, they'd hear it. I can't help what night it is or evening or anything else. The fact of it is, my friend, was it not Gideon that put out a fleece? I got the right one, don't I? He put out a fleece, my friend, that see whether or not God was going to be with him. That's not faith, folks. I know what God done for Gideon, but brother, that's not a faith tonight. Preacher, I believe he can. To what purpose? Ain't that proven? I'm not getting on to you. What's faith? Believing that God can do it and that God will do it if it's His will. Do you know everything ain't the will of God? We'll pray. Sometimes we'll cry and moan and waller around all over the place, my friend, and it's not God's will. I can't tell you when to and when not to. All I can tell you is pray that God burdens you with. When the Lord puts something on you, my friend, it's normally for a reason and a purpose. It is. I'm just going to tell you some of my thoughts, my friend. I hadn't been overly concerned about the sister's cancer. I'll just be honest with you. I hadn't been overly concerned. I have been concerned, and to be honest with you, I was looking for a different outcome. But you know what? That don't change. It don't change. I'm still concerned. But listen, I got a Bleakin friend down there in Adairsville, my friend. It had cancer. They went in there and they told him he guided it all. And they wasn't going to do no this or that. And he goes back for checkups ever so often. He told me the other day, he said, Randy, he said, I've been back six times. And he says, six times they've cut more cancer off. Six times. He said, but I leave there, I ain't got no cancer. Listen. You don't know how God's going to work it. I'll tell you something else. You don't know what it is that'll take you out of this life. And age ain't got a whole lot to do with it. Do you know that? It is sad, Mike, to see your elders. I've watched my mother, my dad. I've seen my dad, my friend, on a board. We followed him to the hospital, and we went in there. They let us go in there. He was on a board, and they turned him upside down because he had no circulation going to his head. Had to revive him three times before they got there. Listen, trying their best to get some circulation. He is white as a ghost. You know what? 2 days later, he walked out of there. Huh? Still didn't have good circulation. Doctors told him they didn't even know how he's living. I've got news for you. That circulation got there somehow. Did it not? Got there somehow. Went in for surgery. Wasn't no major surgery. Come through the surgery just fine. No problems. In the room. Next day, talking about letting him go home. You know what? About 6 o'clock that evening, he went cold blue. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's 2 or 3 years later. Huh? We don't know. We don't, Mike. They'll out bury me and you before they do her. Do you know that? That's truth. Truth. Fact. Absolute truth, folks. Most of us don't know what we're walking around with. Doctors don't either. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Isn't it about faith tonight, folks? It ain't about us proving God. God don't have to prove himself. Does he have to prove himself over and over and over again to you? Does he? If he does, there's a problem. There's a problem. And it ain't with God. He ain't got the problem. Me and you got the problem. My daughter was tested. She was 17, 18 year old. Now I'm going to tell you, you don't think my friend God wake you up in the middle of the night and just show you that it don't concern you? Now I can tell you a little bit about me. I had that to happen. I got down and prayed right then. Because I didn't know. I'm going to tell you what, Leroy. He didn't show me who it was. Not right then. But it happened 2 or 3 times, my friend. And then about 6 months later, my daughter was having problems. Went in, they said it was cancer. Huh? Randy, what'd you do? I'll tell you what I done. I'll be honest with you. I shouted glory. Glory! Preacher, you can't do that. Why can't you? I'd already prayed for that situation. I believe with all my heart, folks, when they put Daniel in the den of lions, I don't believe he prayed when he was in there. He had already prayed. Yes, sir. He had already prayed. I don't believe he sat in there and trembled. The scripture don't really tell us what went on while he was in there, but I'll tell you one thing. He wasn't appealing to those lions, was he? He wasn't appealing. They had no appetite for him. There's a reason. There's a reason for that. Bible says when old Jonah got in the situation he did, when he went down to Tarshish, then he went down inside the boat, ship, and he kept telling them, get rid of me, and said, them waters are calm. And the Bible says that the Lord prepared a fish, does it not? And it swallowed Jonah, swallowed him. But he didn't have no appetite for him. He spent 3 days in there. What the book says. It took Jonah 3 days in the whale's belly. And he said, out of the belly of hell I cried. It took him 3 days to get in a position to where he could repent. I'm not going to tell you how long it'll take you, but I'll tell you one thing. You'll never get better till you repent. You know we know that. You know why some of us know that? You know why some of us amen that? Because we've repented. Yes, sir. We've repented. Thank God, best thing in the world for you. Better than any medicine. I promise you. It's better than any antidote out there. It's better than anybody in this world sitting down and talking to you for hours on end. Yes, sir. Repentance. Some of the most miserable people living in this world needs to repent. Do you know that? I preach this, my friend, and I know it to be a fact. Brethren, if some folks would just repent, their doctor would go out of business. Yes, sir. Some of the hospital rooms would shut down. Yes, they would. Preacher, you believe that. I sure do. I sure do. I had an aunt. I can talk about my people. I had an aunt, my friend. She was in the hospital, and she was in fairly bad shape to begin with. And I went and seen her, and she was, first thing come out of her mouth, I didn't ask her. Didn't ask her for it. First thing come out of her mouth, Randy, when I get right back home, said, I'm going back to church. Huh? I didn't ask her. I didn't ask her. You tell me what was bothering her. Huh? You know what would have happened? She'd have been better off to do what she said. She would. And I can prove it to you by her life. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a lot of folks, my friend, living in misery tonight because they will not repent. Now, I'm going to bring my remarks to a close. I believe I've given you what the Lord wanted me to. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. If you ain't tried your faith lately, try your faith. Just trust the Lord. Trust. Trust. Preacher, I've been down this road before. It just ain't going to work out. Well, you ain't got much faith. I can go through this Bible, and I can show you incident after incident, my friend, where things didn't turn out like people thought it would. Did you know it specifically talks in the New Testament? It said there was many widows in the days of Elisha. Many widows. But Elisha was not sent but to one. That lady had a debt, had nothing to pay. The man of God asked her, said, what do you have? And she said, we got a little cruse of oil. She said, tell your sons to gather all the vessels they can, not a few. Gather them all. Brought them in, began to pour out of one little cruse and filled every one of them vessels. And you know what he told her? He said, you go and sell. And he said, pay thy debt. Huh? Pay thy debt. And there was many lepers in the land in the days of Elisha also. But there was not but one unto whom the Lord sent the man of God to. That was Naaman. Was it not? Naaman. You don't know tonight. You and I both don't know. Why, preacher, I've seen people. I have. You have. I've known folks, my friend, that was diagnosed with cancer, and it wouldn't be but, I mean, a matter of weeks. It's gone. It's gone. Preacher, the Lord didn't love them, had nothing to do with God's love for them. Had nothing to do. Nothing to do. The Bible also says that he causes his sun to shine upon the good and the evil. Does he not? He also causes the rain to rain upon the just and the unjust. these unjust men, these wicked men, wicked women living in this world, my friend, you'd think that the Lord just strike them dead. That ain't the way it works. No, it's not. You know what I think when I see them continuing on like they are? God's had some mercy. God's had some mercy. Yes, He has. Thing about the Bible is it don't tell you all the good. It'll show you the evil. Did you know that? It does. Got nothing to do where we are sitting tonight. I've got one thing that I wanted to leave with you. I've left it with you, and I'm going to ask you, where is your faith? Where's your faith? I can tell you experiences after experience, a lot that I've heard, a lot that I've seen, and a lot that I know personally about my God. And I'm going to tell you, I still believe He's God. Don't you? I know that God is God, and God don't never change. Charlotte and them sang that song. I know God is God, and God don't never change. I know God is God, and God don't never change. Think about it. He don't. He don't. Thank God. I'm glad He don't. Don't you? I'm glad He don't. You say, preacher, I still want His proof. It's not a faith. Not a faith. Let's all stand. That's the message.